A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. So, Dan, do you have big plans for Labor Day? Do you actually plan to do labor?
No, I don't think I'm going to. I have a bathroom floor that I should install.
Uh-huh.
And I also have a toilet that I probably should install. But I'm really not sure that's going to be a weekend project for me. You know,
okay.
School is starting up. I'm going to be shuttling kids. My wife's going to be shuttling kids. I think we need this last weekend off just to get ready for all of that.
Right. It sounds like you're wimping out to me.
Uh-huh.
It does.
Maybe I am.
Well, for a lot of our listeners, this is a big project weekend, and we have a great idea for a weekend project. Many homes have basements that don't get used as actual livable space because it's so dreary down there. But a little bit of paint on the floor will really brighten up that basement in no time flat.
Also, we're going to sit down with Bill Hoffman from Hoffman Electric, and we're going to talk about some common electrical issues that many people deal with.
And in about 15 minutes, we've got a quick rundown of some must-have painting tools and a Facebook contest that you are not going to want to miss.
But before we get to all of that, we've got Matt Baker from Landscape Design Services in the studio with us because I have a pet issue that I think Matt's going to be able to help me with.
I think you called the wrong guy, Dan.
No, a pet issue, and Matt from Landscape Design Services is going to help me.
Okay.
Watch and learn, Betsy.
Yeah, okay.
Watch and learn. Matt, thanks for being here.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Now, Matt, we've got a new dog. And the dog's been very good, but one of the downsides is I got a lot of dead spots on the yard, amongst other things. So anyway, I've got to patch in these areas. I've tried to do a number of things as the summer went, but I struggled to get this going. What I'm curious about is this a project that I can tackle now, or is this something really that's better off waiting till spring? You know, when everything's starting to come alive.
Now is the best time, actually.
Now is the best time.
Yes. I tell my clients Labor Day. Remember Labor Day for fixing their lawns. September is a great time as well. So the advantages are you're not fighting the weeds. So spring, we have lots of weeds that come up just naturally in Michigan. So we're fighting that weed growth. This time of year, too, we've got cooler temps. So in the summer, you're fighting almost a losing battle because you've got 80-plus degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to keep the soil wet or moist,
mm-hmm.
and it's just difficult to do. So this time of year, it's cooler temps. We're not fighting those weeds. The other thing that we've got is the advantage of time. So even though, you know, at some point here, we're going to get that white stuff, that snow on the ground, the soil actually stays warm going in well into the fall. So we get a lot of root growth for the grass, the new seed.
Better than you're going to get in the summer?
Yeah, it's a great time of year because those roots are growing. There's not that stress of the heat on the lawn. So we're going to get a jump on the spring. So we're going to get ahead of it. We're going to get the seed up and growing this fall, and then root growth established. So next spring when it comes, it'll be ready to take off.
See, now I always pictured that it was going to be, you know, not established enough by the time the snow did come and that it was going to basically kill it. And I was just wasting time and money.
No, it's just the opposite. Now's the best time. So
my instinct is completely wrong. That's what you're telling me. Completely wrong. Not just a little bit.
So your spidey sense is very broken.
It's broken. Unless I learn to
or non-existent.
Just do the opposite of what I think, then
perfect.
I'd be okay. So what are the steps? What do I need to do? I mean, are there ways that I can make this work the best? I mean, are there little tips and tricks?
Definitely. The first thing is to question, do you really need to seed? So in the summer, sometimes the lawns will go dormant, meaning they'll turn brown because they get dry. But can you just boost them with water and bring them back to life? Because
okay.
they don't necessarily totally die. They might just kind of shut down. That's a reaction of the plant to the hot weather. And it just kind of shuts down, turns off, turns brown. So if it's still, there's still some life there, you know, start watering, see if you can get it to come back.
Okay.
However, if you've got some bare spots, maybe some dog spots in the yard.
I have several. And
yeah,
I wish you'd just go in one place.
Yeah, they don't.
She just spreads it around. I wonder if we looked at it from high enough above that some sort of pattern would emerge. Maybe she's really, really smart and is
sneaking. She's making dog circles instead of crop circles.
But I do have a number of spots I've got to fix.
Yeah, so those spots, if it's bigger, then I usually go by the size of my fist. So if you hold your hand out, if it's bigger than that, you're probably going to want to overseed. And the key for that is you want to loosen the soil up. You need to, the new grass seed has to come in contact with soil, and you have to loosen that soil so you have a nice seed bed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or soil to receive the seed. So you can do that with a hard rake and kind of go into those spots and loosen them up with the corner of a rake. The other thing you may have to do is buy a little bit of topsoil, or if you have some topsoil in the yard that from an area or old projects, you can scoop that up and spread it lightly top dress into those spots. Then just hand seeding over the top of those is sufficient to get that seed there. You want to pick out a seed that's appropriate for the light conditions that you have. Mm-hmm. So if you have a sunny spot or a shady spot, or partial shade, pick a seed that's labeled for that. Go to your local garden center or, you know, check with our friends at Fruit Basket Flowerland. They can help you out. And then hand seed that into the soil. I usually take a leaf rake and kind of lightly rake over the top to get the seed into the soil. Get it in a little bit. And then fertilizer is good to do.
Do I have to hand spread? Oh, we're talking like regular fertilizer. We're not. I was thinking, how stupid is that? But I was just thinking cows. Uh-huh. I was thinking, first off, I don't have a cow, Matt.
Well, they have that stuff called Dairy Dew. My mom buys that stuff. It's called Dairy Dew, and it's some great fertilizer There's a picture of a cow right on the bag.
Well, I get it.
It's a good organic fertilizer for you.
Yeah, so see?
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Matt Baker from Landscape Design Services, and we're talking about how fall is actually the perfect time to patch in those thin areas in your yard, which surprised me because I was thinking I had to wait till spring.
Right.
And we're working through the best ways to make sure that this happens, and you just talked about, you know, creating the good seed bed, putting the soil down if I need to, and adding the fertilizer. Is there anything important to know about that?
The important thing to do is not use weed and feed fertilizer. So you don't want any weed control in that fertilizer. You want just fertilizer only. Some of those weed controls will be an inhibitor, will prevent the seed from germinating. So I usually use a rule of you want to have mowed the lawn about 3 or 4 times before you even think about doing weed control on top of that. So for now, and we're in the best time of year, we're not worried about spring weeds. So we're going to seed now, we're going to get a great take, and we don't have to worry about the weed control.
So what kind of, I mean, not kind, but what mix? I mean, I know fertilizers come with different.
Yeah, don't they have like 10, 10, 10, or
right.
10,
is there
20,
something?
30,
yes.
Something like
so
that?
Yes, so you'll look for, if you're going to buy a bag of fertilizer, you can look for something that's labeled as starter fertilizer. Quite often it is 1:1:1 ratio, so 10, 10, 10, like you mentioned, or 12, 12, 12. But yeah, it'll be labeled for starter fertilizer.
Or I can just zip under the electric fence with a little plastic bag
and a little shovel
and get my fertilizer that way.
Right.
So once I've done that, then what?
At that point, the key is time, but then also keeping that soil moist. So the goal is, it's kind of like Goldilocks, not too wet, not too dry, but just right in the middle. So just like you would with your houseplants, you want to keep that soil moist.
Oh, man,
but
all our houseplants are dead. We're going to have help
with
this one. This
is not looking good for you.
Yeah, so the rules that I look for are, you don't want it to dry out, so you don't want it to get powdery, and you don't want it to be puddled and staying wet between watering. So you're kind of looking for the middle ground there. The great thing is, too, about September is that it's cooler temps. You don't have to worry about watering as often as you would if it's 80 plus degrees, but you still, if you have an automatic sprinkler system, you might want that system or that area to water like a few times a day. We usually recommend 9, noon, and 3 p.m., just really lightly, maybe 5 to 10 minutes in that zone. Or you can do it with hand watering as well.
Okay,
it depends on how big of an area you have and how quickly
my dog moves.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Is keeping the soil moist, is that why people put down straw over top of fresh seed? Is that something that people should be doing if they're going to seed now?
That's a great point. Yes, straw works well. Okay. So that what that straw will do, it'll help retain the moisture over the soil or in the soil. Mm-hmm. It also shades the seed bed a little bit, so it keeps it a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. You can use straw. You can also use, there are products that you can buy at your garden center, mulches that are, some of them are recycled paper products and things that you can sprinkle lightly over those areas to help. And then it's just a matter of time, typically 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks with some types of grass seeds. You'll get that up and going. But it's great time of year. It's, like I said, Labor Day. That's the reminder that I use with my clients. It's, when you want to touch up the lawn, it's Labor Day. Just, you know, go on vacation in the summer, come back, get it touched up.
So, Matt, if Dan can't handle this seeding thing or his lawn maintenance or planting around his brand new Olympic-sized swimming pool, how can he get in contact with you or our listeners get in contact with you?
Your listeners can find us online at landscapeds.com or search us out on Facebook, and I'll post some resources about lawns on our Facebook page this morning as well.
Perfect.
Awesome. Matt, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you.
When we come back, we've got the must-have paint tools that no home should be without, plus we'll give you the details for our contest this week. Stay right there.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back, and I've got a really great example to kick off this segment.
Mm.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, I was just on vacation.
Yep.
And I'll try to go very fast.
Okay.
We were on Mackinac Island, and I bought a bottled beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it back to the room, and I had no bottle opener.
Of course.
Yes. So my wife and I were looking at it thinking, what are we going to do here?
Right.
And so I ended up getting creative because I didn't want to spend the extra $5.99 to buy a souvenir bottle opener.
Instead, we'll spend 20 minutes trying to get the stupid things open.
It took 15 minutes for each one.
Yep.
I only opened three of them, but I had to use a belt. I used my son's belt, the tongue of the belt. I could pry little things open. And I did also use the drawer pulls on the furniture in there.
He did not damage the furniture, however.
I did not. I was very careful. The whole thing was very dumb.
Right.
Very dumb. But the broader point, the paint point, is that there are specific tools that you use for every painting project. And if you have the right ones, the project's going to go smooth.
Right.
Having the wrong ones, you find yourself scrambling and, you know, doing things like I did, bleeding a lot and breaking stuff.
Of course.
So we've got a list of must-have paint tools that's just kind of a real basic list, but if you have these things in your house ready to go, each project that you tackle is going to go a lot easier.
Right. And the first thing that you need to have in any good paint toolkit is a really good brush. You can go out and buy the really cheap chip brushes, but you end up with a messy job and it just doesn't look very good. So invest in a good brush. We recommend the Corona Excalibur. It rinses out beautifully 30 to 45 seconds under the water. The nice Chinex bristles just let go of that paint. You get a real nice paint job because the paint flows out so well. It's something to invest in. Yes, it's a little more pricey, but it will last forever.
Right. A lot of people don't like to spend money on brushes, but we're advising in this particular instance, do it. It'll last for a long time.
Yep.
You're going to get great results. You're going to love working with it. So get a good brush, the Corona Excalibur. Moving on from the brushes. The other thing you obviously need to apply paint are roller covers, roller frames, and roller trays.
Right.
So gather all of these things. We recommend at least 2 9-inch roller covers and 2 4-inch roller covers, just so you've got a backup, you know, and you've got them on the shelf ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Get a 3/8-inch nap on the cover.
Yes.
People wonder because there's so many different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
The 3/8 is going to be most common for most situations. It'll work well.
Right.
So get those and have them on hand and make sure that you're using new ones for your finish paint. Don't use cleaned up or used ones for anything other than primers.
Right. And because you're getting 9 and 4-inch roller covers, you also need frames to go with those. So make sure you have one of each on hand. The 9-inch is great if you're doing a whole wall or a larger area. The 4-inch is great for just little touch-up things and really small projects. And then, of course, you need roller trays. Just get a standard metal tray. Make sure you buy the liners that go in it. It makes cleanup really easy.
They're very inexpensive, and it's a huge time saver.
Exactly. And then the 4-inch trays are just a plastic tray, but they can be reused a couple times. So grab a few of those. They're just over a dollar, I think. So definitely worth it to have.
Always nice to have those around, just sitting there in case whatever comes up.
Right.
The next thing that we'd want to mention are putty knives.
Yes.
And again, just get a selection of these things. Mm-hmm. We recommend a 1-inch and a 2-inch putty knife, whether you go with plastic, whether you go with metal. That's your call. The metal is going to last longer. The plastic's a little more inexpensive, of course.
Yep.
At least have them on hand. So a 1-inch and a 2-inch putty knife, along with a 6-inch joint knife.
Yep.
You can use that for any number of other situations. It's just nice to have around in case something comes up. And then one other thing to consider would be a 5-in-1 tool or a 6-in-1 tool that painters use.
Right. This is great for opening your cans when you get your paint. It has a roller cover cleaner. Now, we're not saying to clean out your roller covers and reuse those every time you paint. They're great for primer once they're cleaned out, but don't use them for your top coat. And then it has a number of other tools. You can pound some nails in, you can clean out cracks, all kinds of things. So it's just a handy tool to have around. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about some must-have painting tools that you always want to have on hand. The next thing we want to talk about is spackling compound. I think it's something that's quite often overlooked by people. They just don't have it.
Because it's so exciting, Betsy.
Right.
Everybody wants to, you know, just think about spackling compound.
Well, they just forget about it.
It's so flashy.
Right. Yes, very flashy.
It's about as boring as it gets.
Yeah.
It's like buying mud.
Well, essentially it is. Yes, just a small container of lightweight spackling just to fill any cracks or small holes before you're doing any painting projects. It's super to have on hand.
Right. So do that. Get some painter's tape. We recommend frog tape. We find that to be the tape that works the best, gives you the sharpest lines. Get the green for normal painting and the yellow for delicate surfaces if you're taping over an area that was freshly painted.
Right.
Don't forget to get sandpaper. We recommend 6 sheets of each of the 220 grit, the 150 grit, and the 120 grit paper. And then don't forget drop cloths.
Absolutely. Drop cloths are something that people forget all the time. And don't just buy the plastic ones. The plastic,
because they're cheap.
Well,
they are cheap.
Right. They are cheap, but they're really only good for covering furniture. The reason professionals don't use them is they are very slippery to walk on. So cover furniture and that kind of thing with them and buy an actual canvas drop. We suggest a 4x15 runner. It's about $20, maybe a little bit less. Absolutely worth the investment. You can use it over and over again, and there's no slipping with it.
Right. That and the brush. The canvas runner and the Corona brush are, to me, if you listen to nothing else that we said, get those two things. It's going to pay off in the long run. You'll pay a little bit more up front, maybe $40 total, but you'll have two tools at that point that will last years and years and years. And you'll use them in all kinds of different situations.
Right. And then the last thing that we would recommend is just a can opener. Be sure that you have one. You can come into Repco Light and ask for one, and we will give you one.
Because we roll that way.
Yes,
we
do.
Cool.
Yes, we do.
All right. So there you go. Some basic tools. There are other items that, you know, you could fit into this packet or this kit or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, extension handles, things like that. We've got a more complete list online in our show notes if you go there and check it out. But those are the basics. If you have those, the next project you tackle is going to go a lot easier.
Right. And because these are such important things, we are actually going to give away a full kit of these tools. Everything we talked about, plus a $50 gift certificate to Repco Light to get you started on your next painting project. All you have to do to enter is go and like our Facebook page. You actually have to like it, not just a post or something on it.
Right.
The whole
page.
Yep. And that gets you entered to win. And once you're entered this time and you've liked the page, you are entered to every other contest that we hold. So go and do it. And from here on out, you're entered to win.
Every other radio contest, we should clarify.
Yes.
We could run some crazy store contest that would require a different thing.
Right.
But all of the radio contests are going to go to our Facebook fans. So go there and like the page now and just get it out of the way for the future.
Yes. We'll draw the winner next Saturday.
All right. Coming up, my lights dim every single time I run the microwave, put in my little snack, hit go, and the lights dim for a moment. At first, I thought it was just me that I had a problem.
Uh-huh.
But now I think it's bigger. Maybe my house has a problem. We're going to be digging into this and other electrical questions just ahead. Stick around.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, we're back, and we're glad that everybody is also back after liking our Facebook page.
Yes, because I'm sure everyone did that.
Everybody wants to win that contest.
Yes.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, Dan and I have spent a fair amount of time talking about electrical problems because it seems that we both have some of the same electrical issues going on, and they all seem to have cropped up at the same time, and we're a little baffled by most of them.
And we're guessing that a lot of the listeners have similar issues.
Yes.
And so we're in the studio with Bill Hoffman, co-owner of Hoffman Electric, and we're hoping he can shed a little light on our problems. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, that was
that
good.
Is really, yeah, kind of dumb. But hey, let's just say it was smooth.
Right.
Bill, thanks for being here.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Now, I guess what I want to get to right off the bat is I've got an issue that I started to notice in our house when I first moved in a few years ago, and I wasn't sure I was seeing it right, but when we would turn on the microwave or certain things in the house, all of the lights would start to dim just for a split second. Sometimes longer. And then it'd come back again, and I thought, well, maybe I'm crazy, and I just, you know, maybe I didn't see what I think I saw. But then other people started to mention that to me as well. I guess I'm just curious, what is going on, and how do I fix this?
That is natural to a house, to most homes, where the larger loads will cause your lights to dim just for a split second.
So that doesn't mean I've got a problem? Or
no,
does it
really
mean I have a problem?
You really don't. And that problem can be with the utility also.
Oh, so it might not be my system.
Where they're not serving your house with enough of a service to maintain those big loads. And that causes the small loads to dim when the large loads come on. You'll
okay.
notice that with your refrigerator, air conditioning.
Yeah, the air conditioning is another
yes.
one that I noticed. That
right.
kicks on, everything dims. And we had the power go out once around Thanksgiving a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that dims now, the kids, you hear a collective, oh, wherever they are, because they're thinking,
yep.
no, the power's gone
right.
and TV's not going to be on.
Oh,
so that's normal, though.
Yes, it is. As long as that's a very short period of time where it dims. When it,
yeah.
when it turns into 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds, then you've probably got a loose wire. And we look at loose neutral wires either in your own home or in the utility, and it can be either one.
That's not something I can diagnose myself, is it, that I can find a loose wire?
Probably not. We usually know what to look for, and there are times we can find them. There are times when they're just elusive enough that we can't find them.
Okay. But you'll come out and do that?
Absolutely.
If I'm noticing that it's longer than...
Correct.
That what did you say about a second to a second and a half?
2 seconds.
So you're saying a momentary dimming is normal.
Correct.
But if it's longer than a second to a second and a half, it could be a loose wire. Now,
yes,
is that
it could
a,
be.
That's a potentially dangerous situation?
It can be. It can be because as those wires get loose, they tend to heat up and get looser yet. And there's where your problem will escalate.
So what if it is a problem with the utility and they're not supplying you with enough power to your house? How do you get them to supply you with more power so you don't have this problem?
Do I have to pick it? I would like to pick it somewhere.
You may have to. And what happens, you may be sharing a transformer with several neighbors.
Okay.
And as they all get air conditioning, they will all draw a large load, which mm-hmm. accentuates the problem in your house and their house.
So then the utility has to come out and break everybody up?
Possibly, yep.
Okay.
Enlarge that transformer that serves your house.
Oh, so that's quite a process.
It can be.
Okay.
That is it's rather rare, but it happens.
So it sounds like we need to get out there and talk to our neighbors and see if they have the same problem.
Right. Let's stir the pot. Let's create some trouble.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Bill Hoffman, co-owner of Hoffman Electric, and we're talking about just some electrical issues that I think a lot of us deal with from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is how my lights dim when the microwave or the air conditioning comes on. The other thing that happens with my microwave is if I turn on the coffee maker at the same time, now the lights don't just dim, but the whole circuit breaker trips. That, I assume, means I've got way too much going on that particular circuit.
Correct.
What do I do about that other than, move things?
And that is the first thing you want to do because your typical kitchen has two circuits in it. So if you move the coffee pot to another countertop outlet, you may solve the problem.
Okay.
But some of the older homes, which have smaller circuits or only one circuit, you
sure.
may want to add one. And then we typically pick that biggest load, which is probably the microwave, and add an outlet and a circuit just for that and relieve everything else that's on on the other circuit.
So then you don't have to upgrade all of your electrical. You just put in something extra for that one piece of equipment.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So that sounds better than having to upgrade the entire thing. But what happens if you do have to upgrade the entire thing? What kind of a price are we looking at to upgrade an entire electrical system in a home?
Well, price and process. You know, what's involved with that?
Yes, is it going to take weeks?
No. Typically, that's less than a day's work to upgrade your service. And most of the older homes started with fuses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have fuses yet, you'll want to get rid of those. They can be over-fused, so your wiring's not protected the way it should be. And we would come in, remove that, and put in a breaker panel.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we would upgrade your service to a larger amperage also. Your typical home up to 2,000 square feet, let's say, mm-hmm. will be fine with a 100-amp service.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The newer homes nowadays are typically wired with a 200-amp service, which allows for more breaker space. So you can add those circuits as you go and
just to kind of customize it as necessary, right?
If you have an outbuilding, you have a hot tub, they can be on individual circuits, because your typical house will run out of breaker space before they run out of amperage.
Okay. So upgrading the system isn't replacing the wiring throughout the home.
Correct. But it enables us to add those circuits when needed.
Okay.
When you have that new breaker panel.
All right. Price-wise, is there any kind of idea you can give me as to a basic, you know, is it incredibly expensive? Is this...
Well, quite often we will only replace the breaker panel, that the everything else is adequate.
Mm-hmm.
So just replace the breaker panel, you're at in that $600-$700 range. Upgrading to a 200-amp panel, you may be up into the 2,000s.
Okay, so somewhere in that range is going to get me to the point of being able to do what I want to do with the house, because right now, there's no more room in my box.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the inn at Christmas time. There's no more room. So in order to get that room, I'm going to need to upgrade.
Correct.
Okay.
And we could maybe do that by just changing out the breaker panel.
Okay. All right. Well, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, ask some questions, maybe get you out to the house to take a look at some of these issues for them, how's the best way to do that, Bill?
Probably call our office at 396-8213.
And you're located in Holland?
Correct.
How far will you go?
We typically run three counties, Ottawa, Allegan, into Kent County.
All right. So you're going to cover most of our listening audience.
Yep.
If they have any questions, they can reach you at that phone number. Otherwise, they can go online and find you at HavemanElectric.com, HaveManElectric.com. Bill, co-owner of Haveman Electric, thanks for being here today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood, 1300 and 106.9 FM.
The term Michigan basement gets used a lot in Michigan for a reason. The state is filled with dungeon-like spaces. After the break, we'll tell you how to transform that space into a brighter, more inviting one. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
In the basement. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh.
Yeah. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson, and you are singing about the basement.
Sort of singing. I don't know if that technically counts as singing.
Uh-huh.
But I am, because according to that song by Etta James from the 60s, mm-hmm. the basement is where all the cool kids want to hang out.
It is where the cool kids want to hang out, except there are so many basements out there that look more like dungeons than the cool place
to
hang out.
My old one did.
Well, but the good news is it doesn't have to stay that way. A little fresh paint on the block wall, some comfortable furniture, and a nice painted floor, and suddenly you have a space where you are ready to party.
Exactly. With that in mind, we're going to work through some simple projects to help you lay claim to that basement space. And today, we're going to actually just pare it down and focus on the floor.
Right.
Because you'd be amazed at the dramatic lift a dark room can get from a new coat of paint on the floor.
Right.
When I did this in my old, dingy Michigan basement,
mm-hmm.
I was absolutely stunned, literally, when we got just the coat of paint on the floor,
yep.
how much that brightened up the room and made it feel like a space you wanted to be in.
Right.
So it's a straightforward project. You really just need to follow a few simple steps. And the
right.
first one is just determining whether or not your floor is actually a candidate for paint. A lot of floors, just there's too much moisture in them to
right.
make that a project that you should really tackle down there.
Right. Concrete is permeable and ground moisture seeps upward in the form of vapor. And if you have a paint film on that, it creates a watertight and airtight barrier. The moisture will build up underneath that and it'll crack and peel lift that paint right
off. It's got nowhere to go. So all it will do is cause failure on that paint coating and then it's just a mess.
Yes, exactly. So even if you think your concrete is dry, you want to do a moisture test. And this test is very simple. It's just a 3-foot by 3-foot piece of plastic and some duct tape. You tape that square of plastic down on your floor. Make sure it's completely sealed down.
Right, all four sides.
Yep, on all four sides. And then you wait about 16 hours to 24 hours to see if you see any moisture coming up from the backside of that concrete.
Right. To increase the accuracy of the test, it's really good to do multiple tests. Mm-hmm. Don't just put one piece of plastic down in one area of the room and call that conclusive. You've got to spread it around.
Yes.
So start maybe along the edge of a wall somewhere, another one in the middle of the room, and maybe another one on a far side of a room.
Right.
So do multiple tests, check them for moisture. If you don't see any, then you're good to go and proceed. If you do see moisture, you really need to deal with that before you move on to the next part of the project or even move on with the project at all.
You know,
sometimes moisture can be reduced by just putting gutters up on the house, making sure that the gutters channel the water 10 to 15 feet away from your foundation.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's even caused by the grade. You know, the dirt goes towards the house instead of away from the house. So make sure that grade is going away. And if none of those are the problems, it might be time to call in an expert and have them check it out because you have to solve the moisture problem before you can put paint on that floor.
Right. Now, if you have no moisture problem or you do get it resolved, then the next step is to prep the floor. And we know how this sounds because we talk to people in the store all the time and tell them the prep work step of whatever project they're working on, and you watch their eyes glaze over.
Yes.
Because nobody wants to do this. I don't want to do it. I am always tempted to make shortcuts on prep. But I know the better the prep work I put in, the better the end results.
Right.
So don't cut the corners on this. It's going to pay off down the road.
Right.
Now, the prep work is pretty straightforward on a basement floor. If you have paint on it now, before you put a new coat of paint on, you do need to make sure that all of that paint that's there is adhering very well.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any peeling or flaking areas, make sure you scrape that off and scrape it well so that whatever remains is actually adhering well to the concrete.
Right.
People sometimes think that a new coat of paint is going to cause a failing coat of paint underneath it to re-adhere to a surface.
Right, they think it's going
to
glue it back down.
Right, it does not work that way. It's just going to continue to fail and it'll take your new paint with it.
Right.
If that old paint is really, really shiny or glossy, you would probably want to scuff sand that. So put some sandpaper on a pole sander and you just work it over the floor almost like a mop.
Right. Once you've done those things, then it's time to actually clean the floor. We recommend TSP and water. It's a great cleaner degreaser. So even if your concrete is bare, you want to go ahead and use this product and apply it with a scrub brush or some sort of push broom.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Exactly. Focus on any grease spots that might be there because that's just going to repel the paint when you go to paint. And then you need to be sure to rinse really, really well. So rinse towards a drain if you have one or use a wet dry vac to suck that up. And then rinse yet one more time to be sure that all of that TSP residue is gone.
Right. You got to make sure you get that up because otherwise paint could bond to a residue that's left on the floor. And it's going to just peel and you'll have failure. So do that second rinse. Make sure that everything's good and clean.
Right.
Then you just have to let it dry. Do whatever you can to help the process. Use fans, open windows, run some dehumidifiers. Do whatever it takes to speed it along. And then before you go to the next step of actually applying paint, you're going to need to do that plastic test one more time.
Yes.
Just to make sure that the floor is now dry enough after washing for paint.
Exactly. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And we're talking about how to paint your basement floor to spruce it up a little bit. So now comes the tricky part. This is where people get a little lost. We're talking about actually choosing the paint. And really, there are two options.
Everybody thinks there's a ton of options.
Right.
And I guess technically there are.
Well, there are two. Yes.
But we can simplify it.
Yes. There are two categories. You have your water-based products and you have your oil-based products. So to make it a little easier, we're going to go through the pros and cons of each of these products. Now, the pros of water-based products are that it's easier to clean up. Soap and water, it couldn't be any more easy than that. There's little to no smell with the water-based product, which is great if you can't open windows and have very good ventilation. And it's a fast drying thing, so you can put it back to use a little bit sooner. The cons, however, are that it's not quite as durable as oil. If you're running furniture over it, or you're
moving a washer and dryer,
yeah,
or even equipment, if you've got a workshop
right.
or anything like that down there, latex yep. struggles a little bit.
Right. And it doesn't hold up well to standing water. So if your laundry room is down there and your washer springs a leak, this is not a good thing to have happen, because it will tend to peel that paint up a lot more easily than an oil-based product will.
And that can always be cleaned up and new paint put down, but just
right.
be aware latex is not going to handle that as well as an oil would.
Right. Now, Repcolite makes our own Aqua Tread product. It's a great product made right here in Holland. Water-based, so that's nice. And Benjamin Moore makes floor and patio, which is also a great product.
So those would be a couple options for water-based coatings.
Mm-hmm.
Oil-based coatings, the other option. The pros are, like we said earlier, you're going to get more durability. It's going to hold up better to sliding furniture or appliances around.
Right.
It's also going to be much better at resisting standing water. It's going to just hold up to that much
mm-hmm.
better than the water-based will. It's also easy to apply because it stays wet longer.
Yes.
You know, you just have more time to work it.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is it stays wet longer.
Right. The double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. So you do have to tolerate a slower dry time.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing with oil-based, and this is no surprise to anybody, is the fumes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
the biggest turnoff typically. So you do need to make sure you ventilate.
Yep.
If you've got pilot lights, you know, on a furnace or a hot water heater, all of those need to be off.
Yep.
And the other big thing to consider or to be aware of, I guess, is just that the fumes in the air, even a few days later, they can settle in your dryer. If you've got a gas dryer.
Yep.
And when you turn that on,
mm-hmm.
it will actually burn those and create a wonderful kerosene smell.
Yes.
And infuse it into all of the clothes that you're trying to dry.
Yeah, Dan and I have both had that happen before. So
yeah.
if you do choose to use oil and you have a gas dryer in that same area, be sure that you run the dryer to burn off those fumes before you actually put clothes in there. It will smell bad.
Right. Product-wise, we recommend Repcolite's urethane floor enamel
mm-hmm.
or Benjamin Moore's porch and floor enamel. Either one would be good.
Yep.
And I do want to say that with all the talk of fumes and all of that, I don't want to turn people off unnecessarily from an oil-based product. If you
right.
follow the right steps, you can have no problems
mm-hmm.
at all. You know, just ventilate and everything will be fine, and you'll have an extremely durable coating on your floor.
Right.
But if you can't ventilate or you can't do those things or you're concerned, then the water-based would be an option for you.
Right. Now, I'm sure that there are people out there who are saying, well, what about epoxies? I thought that that would be the way to go. And they are great, but they're more heavy-duty than you really usually need for a basement floor. They're going to be a whole lot more durable and up for more wear and tear. They're more difficult to work with, and they're going to cost you quite a bit more money. So that's always something to think about. They're great for warehouses, shop floors, garage floors, and we're going to actually talk about that at some point. But if it's something you want to talk about right now and you think that this might be
right,
a better option.
If you've got a project or something.
Yep. Stop out at any Repcolite or Port City Paint store and ask. Or, you know, you can call us, email us, whatever. We'll help you figure out if that might be the way to go for you.
Right. Once you got your paint, all you need to do is apply it. You know, you just roll it onto the floor. There's
mm-hmm.
any number of little tips and tricks. We're going to put some notes in our show notes and
yep.
on our website that will give you, you know, a couple of methods to try that might make the process easier.
Right.
But it's pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Basements don't need to be dark and dingy. And even if yours is new, you can get rid of that bare block and concrete floor look. It just takes a little bit of paint and a little bit of know-how. And Repcolite and Port City Paints, that's what we're here to do. We help
yes.
with all of that.
Exactly.
Just stop out and we'll get you on the right track. And that's going to do it for another episode of the Repcolite Home Improvement Show. As always, you can find our past episodes online at repcolite.com.
And remember, we're giving away that must-have painting toolkit along with a $50 gift certificate to get you started on your next project. So enter to win. You just have to go to our Facebook page and like it. And
right,
once,
like the page.
Yes, the whole page. And once you do that, you'll be entered to win all of our radio contests. You'll automatically be entered in every single one from here on out.
As long as you don't unlike the page.
Right.
Right. So get over there and like our Facebook page, and then we'll announce the winner on next week's show. And in the meantime, no matter what project you're working on, there's a Repcolite or a Port City Paint store right near you, even if you happen to be in Kalamazoo.
Yes.
We've got a brand new location on Gull Road,
mm-hmm.
and we're ready to help you. We're open till 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we are closed on Monday, on Labor Day. So
yes.
everybody get out there and have that one last big hurrah before summer's over. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, If you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you get that party started in the basement. Thanks for listening.